I'm with Vinatini Tissanayake, an electrical engineer with Advisian, who will share some of her opinions on battery storage. Vinatini, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you. So what role will batteries play in the transition to a renewable energy future?
So renewable energy sources like wind and solar are intermittent power sources. So that means they need to rely on the electricity grid. And that includes the likes of coal and gas plants to provide power because of its intermittent nature. So that's where batteries come in, and they can provide a solution to integrate renewables to the grid and without compromising the quality of its supply. Batteries are also capable of providing ancillary services such as frequency regulation. That is because of its technical capabilities, batteries can increase or decrease its output very quickly, meaning that it can be used to settle differences when there's a momentarily shortfall of generation or excess generation with respect to load, and that helps to maintain the system frequency.
So what different types of batteries are there?
There are several types of battery technologies, and these technologies are at different levels of maturity and technical features. So lithium-ion is a common battery technology and often perceived to be a leading technology because it has benefited from a lot of research and development effort, because it's been commonly used in consumer electronics and now in hybrid and electric vehicles as well. These batteries have a relatively high energy efficiencies and energy densities. Lead acid is another common technology, common battery technology, a mature technology as well. And it's commonly used in vehicles and substation supplies. However, these batteries are known to have a relatively short cycle life and low energy densities. Sodium sulfur is another type of a battery technology that is used in grid-scale electricity storage. They are known to have relatively high energy densities and low self-discharge rates. Then you get flow battery technologies. So these are a little different to the ones I spoke about earlier. They typically use two different tanks of reactants to store the electrical energy. So vanadium redox is a type of a flow battery and considered to be reasonably well-developed technology. But the advantage with these batteries are they generally have a long calendar life and you can access full battery capacity without compromising its cycle life. So these are only few battery technologies that I've briefly discussed. There are so many others such as nickel, cadmium, zinc air, and the list goes on and on. But basically, the type of battery technology to use really depends on the application and also the physical size limitation that you may have and also the power and the energy rating of the device and, of course, the cost.
What are the benefits and challenges of large-scale batteries versus, say, home batteries?
So we discussed about integrating renewables and providing ancillary services before. Batteries also can provide energy arbitrage or time shifting of energy. That is to charge the battery when the electricity price is low and discharge when the price is high. Large-scale batteries also can defer transmission or distribution upgrades and help to relieve congestion. For example, if you install a battery downstream of a transmission or a distribution line, where the loading of that particular line is reaching its design capacity during peak demand periods, a battery system can help to relieve congestion and also possibly delay upgrades for several years. In terms of households, battery systems are usually installed together with rooftop solar. So that allows the household to store the excess power during daytime and use it during peak demand periods. So this is particularly attractive at the moment to households which are no longer eligible to premium feed-in tariffs. So in an Australian context, in Victoria, a household with solar currently earns around 6 cents per kilowatt hour for that solar power that is fed into the grid. But they need to pay a much higher price to purchase electricity from the grid, and that is currently around 30 cents per kilowatt hour. So if there's a household with battery storage, it can utilize the stored energy from their solar and use it during peak demand periods. The challenges I see with both home and large-scale battery, one of them is capital cost. But now we are seeing the cost of batteries are coming down because the technology, because of the development in the technology, and that is making these battery storage systems more attractive. Safety is another area of concern. To somewhat address this issue, early this year, Standard Australia released a roadmap for energy storage standards to support standardization efforts in electricity energy storage. So they identified several priority areas. Some of them are safety of installation, product standards, recycling, handling and transport, and training, to name few of these. In the context of households, it is important that battery installations are carried out by an accredited installer.
And any final thoughts for us?
In finishing up this podcast, I'd like to finish up with a quote by Albert Einstein. He said, "In the middle of difficulty lies opportunity." I think we can relate this to implementation of battery storage because it is currently challenging, especially at grid scale. But I think we need to take this as an opportunity and take advantage of this and work out the best way of handling our market and also our system models so that we have a secure and a reliable electricity system.
Vinodini, thanks again for sharing.
Thank you.